Chapter 1. Percy and Dilly. With his hands, face, and glasses covered in dirt, Percy toiled in a field of turnips using his own system to harvest vegetables. He invented it a year ago after his aunt gave him a book about science for his 10th birthday. He called it the scientific calculating method, applicable to all vegetables. Here's how it worked. First, Percy examined the stalks or leaves for texture and hue. Then he measured them with a pocket ruler. Then he used a self-made chart to compute which produce was the ideal color, size, and shape. Lastly, he picked. Percy was thorough, as harvesting vegetables was a serious job for him. He wanted to pick only the best because his dad was a picky farmer. Besides, the better the vegetables, the better the real food they could be traded for, like meatloaf. All morning, Percy inspected, pulled, and sorted turnips. When he finished a row, he clapped his hands, then whistled to his dog, Dilly. Percy relied on Dilly's help in the field. Dilly was great at using his paws like flippers. He batted the vegetables into neat piles so Percy could bag them quickly. "Here, Dilly," Percy yelled across the rows. "Time to stack." At that minute, Dilly had other plans. Swift as a missile, he jetted after a gopher. His body was aerodynamically efficient, cucumber-shaped, tailless, with stumpy but powerful legs. Percy knew the gopher hadn't a chance. He smiled as Dilly chased the gopher up the pole of the Virents family farm sign. The gopher hid in the cutout of the letter V. A stolen turnip dangled from its mouth.
"Ruff!"
Dilly pawed at the sign and shook it. The gopher fell from the sign and fled. Dilly sprinted after it. As he did, the glasses on his snout bounced up and down. People said Percy and Dilly looked alike because they both had brown hair and glasses. They said when they walked together, Dilly's ears flopped up and down on his head the same way Percy's cowlick flopped up and down. Percy fell in love with Dilly the first time he saw him in his grandfather's cricket farm. Unlike the other puppies in the litter, Dilly was born with an elongated body and fuzz instead of fur. Where his tail should have been, there was a lump instead. Grandpap Jentz said he had never seen anything like it before.
"Must have been all the gherkins his mother ate when she was pregnant."
"I think he's a beaut," Percy said.
"He's as healthy as a cricket, except one thing, his vision. He keeps bumping into things. But he's unique, I can say that. Like you, Percy."
"Could I have him, Grandpap? Please? Could I?" Percy asked.
Grandpap Jentz laughed.
"If anyone would want this funny-looking mutt, it would be you, Percy."
"I promise to feed him and take excellent care of him."
"What will your folks say?"
"They won't care. Besides, I'll teach him to help me with my farm chores."
"Will you get him a good pair of spectacles?" Grandpap asked.
"Sure I will," Percy said. "I know what it's like to not see good."
"At the eyeglasses farm, tell Farmer Klops that his old buddy Telly sent you. He'll give you a good deal."
Percy picked up his new puppy and hugged him. They bumped noses.
"What are you gonna name him?" Grandpap asked.
"He looks like a pickle. I'm naming him Dilly."
After Dilly scared the gopher away, he dashed back through the fields. He hurtled over a row and into Percy's arms, knocking him over on his back. Percy lay sprawled on the ground. He held up a giant turnip for Dilly to see.
"Look how big this one is! Dad will be so happy!"
"Ruff!"
Percy rolled over on his stomach and inhaled the rich scent of the earth. The smell soothed him. Something squiggled next to his face. He jumped to his feet. His cowlick stuck up like an arrow. Dilly lunged at the squiggle and caught a slimy worm between his teeth.
"Ew," Percy said. "Get that away from me."
Dilly whipped his head back and forth. The worm broke in half. Each piece slithered off in a different direction.
"Good boy, Dilly."
Percy could always count on Dilly to protect him. Dilly was a great dog. Percy heard wheels rattle. In the distance, he saw his dad, Vance Virents, sitting at the reins of their horse-drawn cart. He steered toward them, or at least tried to. Mona the mare shuffled along.
Giddy up, gal,
Vance said. Mona looked back and whinnied. Percy was fond of Mona, even if she was the sorriest animal he had ever seen. Sway back, patchy hair, buck teeth, sad disposition, and slow. When Vance bartered with Bronco Snozhead, the horse trader farmer, he said he hadn't noticed Mona's curved back, crooked legs, or droopy eyes. Mona cost Vance a dozen cases of vegetables and a stack of his prized 6-foot-tall carrots, which prompted him to tell Percy, "Egad, never trade with a horse trader," and he never did again. Vance's aversion to horse traders transferred to other animal traders, like the bovines, the cattle farmers. Their meat farm was the largest in USA. The Ewings, who were sheep farmers, and the Malatets, the pig farmers. Hence, little meat for the Vierens family. Percy loved bacon, but he was glad his dad didn't want to trade with Mo Malatet. His kids, Mopoke and Moreen, were twin snout-nosed mini-thugs who had been picking on him ever since the sun started to fade. Percy was also glad his mom turned down the annual invitation to the Malatet Swine Soiree and Pork Rind Fest. She said it sounded too greasy. His dad said pig's feet were not made to eat. Percy wasn't pleased about the loss of trade with the bovines, steak being one of his favorite foods. And he would miss trading with the Ewings and visiting their farm. He liked to see cute Mary Ewing. She cared for her pet lamb, Queenie, the same way he cared for Dilly. Mary and Queenie had the same curly hair. Whenever Percy had gone to the Ewing farm, he'd wanted to say hi to Mary. So far, he hadn't been brave enough. But one day... Percy watched Mona saunter toward them and knew his dad was losing patience with her by the minute. The only time Mona had shown any spunk was when she pranced by the Kismet's farm. She had a crush on Spotty Kismet's piebald horse, Geldinger. But Geldinger was no stud. He paid no attention to Mona, causing her to neigh all the way home. Percy felt bad for her. It was Percy's job to brush Mona, but she never cantered enough to work up a lather. Her hair was so sparse that Percy settled for combing it gently around her face, which made Mona snort, a habit Dilly picked up. Even from a distance, Mona looked pitiful. Percy reminded himself to bring her more straw and extra oats for dinner. Also in the distance, his father's orange hair was hard to miss. His head looked like it was wrapped in orange peel.
"Dad's coming," Percy said to Dilly. "Help me bag the turnips."
At the turnip field, Vance pulled on Mona's reins. She moaned and stopped. He climbed from the wagon, chewing on a carrot stick. He held up the first sack of turnips.
"Not very heavy. How are you picking them, Percy?"
"One by one," Percy said.
"Next time, grab two at a time," Vance said.
"Look at this one, Dad." Percy held up the giant turnip. "Isn't it a beaut?"
"Next time, try to pick more. Hop in, we're leaving." "Yah, yah, move it, Mona," Vance said.
The mare bared her large teeth and lomped along. Percy cleaned his glasses on his shirt. From the back pocket of his overalls, he pulled out a book and flipped open the pages of The Flamboyant Flamingo. Vance gave Percy a sideways glance.
"You've been reading that same book for weeks."
"I know," Percy said. "I like to read slow. It makes the story last longer."
"Where'd you get the book?"
"Auntie Flora gave it to me."
"Why?"
Vance asked. "Because I like to read," Percy replied. "She gives me lots of books. She says books are the key to the universe."
"Your aunt says a lot of things. Where'd she get the book?"
"She trades with the book farmer."
"The book farmer wants to trade for flowers? Egads, don't end up like that."
Vance shook his head.
"Besides, you should be playing with the other kids instead of reading all the time."
Percy kept his head down and continued to read. He didn't have much time to play. Too many vegetables to pick in the summer season. Even if there were more time to play, the other kids didn't want to play with him, which Percy wasn't about to tell his dad.
"And another thing, Percy, you should build up your muscles. You're awfully skinny. I wasn't like that when I was 12 years old. I had meat on my bones."
Maybe next year when he would be 12, and maybe if he got to eat more meat, he could store it in his bones and get bigger.
Dad, can we trade turnips for raspberries? Percy asked. They're in season at the exotic fruit farm.
Mr. Dent traded a spool of dental floss for a big basket. He said they're really toothsome.
Vance jiggled Mona's reins. She moved slower instead of faster. I can't understand why the fruit farm does more business than our farm. That farm is getting bigger all the time, and ours isn't.
Look at it this way, Dad, Percy said. Which would you rather eat, a strawberry or a lima bean?
Vance looked at his son with a serious face. A lima bean, of course. Percy should have known. How about if I show you how to swat flies tonight? Vance said. He waved one arm around like a sword fighter. Everyone says I've developed championship form.
No thanks, Dad, Percy said quietly. He wanted to finish reading his book.
A dark cloud passed over the sun. The sky grew dimmer. Even though it was a summer afternoon, there was barely enough light to read. Percy frowned.
What are we going to do about the sun, Dad?
Nothing, Vance said. We're going home. I'm hungry.